Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Perek Chav Zayin, the 27th chapter in the book of Direi Hayomim Aleph. This Perek contains 34 psukim, has no parallel parasha, and is on the topic of the government officials of David. After David HaMelech has set up the different divisions of his cabinet when it comes to the Kohanim and the Levim, and how the Beis HaMikdash operates, we now hear about how his army and how his officials and delegates work. The first pasuk is very telling. It describes the opening of this process. Ubnei Yisrael lemisparam, the children of Israel to their count, Roshei Avos, Sarei Alafim, Va'amemios, Va'shatrehem, U'mashorasim, Es HaMelech. You hear about all these different leaders of different amounts or jurisdictions of people. Mechol Devar HaMachlakos, Abba Va'yotzeis Chodesh V'chodesh, for every monthly watch, for all the months, that each of the divisions per month is 24,000 people. And so that's what the next section of the Perek is about. The first half of the Perek, from Sukkim Beis to Tesvav, is hearing about which people were in charge of their 24,000 people for which month of the year. So we hear about Yoshvaam ben Zavdiel, who's in charge of the first 24,000. And then we hear about the next month, and we hear a list of all the different names and the different months that they are in charge of. So when was this set up in David HaMelech's life? The Da'at Mikra, and Rashi also agrees with this idea much earlier on, that this is placed on although this is placed at the end of David HaMelech's life, when David HaMelech set up the Levim and the Kohanim, truly it must have been an earlier point in his reign. One of the reasons for this is because one of the leaders of this group, of the groups over here, is a man by the name of Asael. That's the leader of the fourth month of the year. He was the brother of Yoav, and we know that Asael was killed by Avner earlier on, before David HaMelech even became a king over all of Israel. The one difficulty to reading it this way, to saying that what's being talked about is at the beginning of David HaMelech's rule over Israel, is that we hear about some of the leaders from the northern tribes. And at that early time, when Asael was still alive, David HaMelech was only king over Yehuda. So it perhaps could be that there is a progression, there is a development over here, which means to say that this is the beginning. David HaMelech formulated this initially, and then Asael was one of the initial leaders, and it was taken over by his son, as the pasuk makes it clear. So what exactly was the job of these groups? What were these 24,000 people per month on rotation doing? The Balaam says, the main focus was sustaining the king and his palace. It's really essentially federal tax. They're in charge of making sure the king and his household and all the different functions that the king's government provide are going to be sustained. The Ralbag says they would also act as the tax collectors of that month. So not only were they producing the food necessary for the king's table, but they were also farming the money necessary to go to the king, which means to say different regions were under different taxes at different times in the year. Rashi and the Da'at Mikra also point out that they also had the job of being reservists for the army. So in a certain sense, what we would call in today's Israeli army, Milu'im. This is the reserve duty where they had 1 month a year that they were in charge of being available for the king. Now, it's interesting. How did this work? Meaning, how could people interrupt their lives for 1 month of the year just like that? I mean, jury duty can be once every few years, and it's not be a whole month. How exactly does this work? So Rashi says, if you do the math, 24,000 is clearly not 1/12 of the people. So the reason that this is being done is that he chose people who are independently wealthy or strongmen to serve as part of his duty, but they're not the people who are struggling on a day-to-day basis to put bread on the table. Rashi points this out. Oh, now, just one interesting note about these numbers, which is important. You will remember that when David HaMelech did a census at the end of his life, it is recorded both at the very end of Sefer Shmuel Beis and earlier on here in Direi Hayomim Aleph. And you will notice that the count of Bnei Israel, there was a discrepancy between the two counts. In Sefer Shmuel, all of Israel numbered, at least army-going men, of 800,000. In Direi Hayomim, it was 1.1 million. That's a gap of 300,000. So the Mefarshim struggle, maybe it's referring to how that Yoav wasn't exact and so on. But the Malbim says, if you do the math over here and you think about 24,000 people for 12 months of the year, that gives you 288,000, which almost completely covers the gap. So what he suggests, says the Malbim, is that Sefer Shmuel was counting the census of the people, not including the monthly group of soldiers and tax collectors. And that being the case, that explains why there's a discrepancy between Sefer Shmuel Beis and Sefer Direi Yamim. It is important to learn Tanakh as a holistic picture, not just learning Pasuk by Pasuk. We now move on to the next section, where we hear about the leaders of each tribe. This is a different function. From Sukkim Tes Zayin to Chav Dalet, we hear about the leaders of each tribe. So Eliezer ben Zichri is for Reuven. Shafat Yahu ben Maacha is for Shimon. And we hear about all the different leaders. A few interesting patterns to notice in this section, that each tribe has its own leader. Levi also has one to coordinate all the Mishmaros under Levi, and the Kohanim have one to coordinate their Mishmaros. You'll notice that Menashe has two leaders, one for each side of the Yarden because of their property, because they were divided on both sides of the Jordan. And Asher and God's leaders are not mentioned. So that leaves us 13 leaders are mentioned in these psukim. And the general order is in the order of the children of Leah, the children of Rachel, and then Bilha. What were the jobs of these leaders? These are different to the people in charge, obviously, of the 24,000 people per month. So the Dat Mikras says it could be they acted as a cabinet to David HaMelech. So like at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, in Direi Yamim Aleph, we saw David HaMelech consulted with the people and the Sarei Alafim. So it could be that these are the people who are David HaMelech's consultees when it comes to matters that affect all of Israel. It could also be that they have military and tax collecting components as well. If one thinks about it, one could sort of think about them as senators and David HaMelech, so to speak, as the president, meaning federal government, state government. It might be some sort of relationship of that, looking at the American system of governance. When is this referring to that he did not count? Because you'll notice at the end of the section is a couple very fascinating psukim. Pasuk Chof Gimel says, Lo nosa David misparo ben esrim shona lamata. David HaMelech did not count them from 20 years and below. Ki omar Hashem laharboises Israel kochoch ve'ashamayim. Because the Torah says that Hashem wanted to make Israel like the stars of the heavens. Then in Pasuk Chof Dalet it says, Yoav ben Tzruya echel im noizu lo echila. Yoav started counting and he didn't manage to finish. Vayi bozois ketzev al Yisrael. There was great anger on Israel. V'lo yalam yispar bizmis by Direi Yamim HaMelech David. And therefore he could not get the real number down. What is this referring to? So Abarbanel says this is referring to two separate ideas. At the beginning, the first Pasuk Chof Gimel, refers to the idea that David HaMelech did want to count all people, not just soldiers of military age, even below 20 years old, and he did not do that at all, because Hashem did not want that to happen. So that was an attempted project which never got off the ground. But there was a project that David HaMelech wanted to do, and that was also count Bnei Israel of military age, that he began but was not able to finish under Yoav, because there were certain tribes, as we saw earlier on, Binyamin and Levi, who are not willing to be counted, and that's why he did not get the full number. That's the way that Abarbanel reads these psukim. We now move on to the third section of this perek, where we hear from psukim Chof Hei to Lamed Aleph, where we hear about the officers in charge of David HaMelech's different finances. So we hear about those, they are called the Sarei HaRechush, the ministers of property of David HaMelech, and we hear about those who are in charge of the royal treasure chambers, the warehouses, the fields, the cities, the workers on the fields, the vineyards, the wine, the olives and the sycamore trees, the olive oil, the cattle pasturing in Sharon, the cattle in the valley, the camels, the donkeys, and the flocks. So we have different names, different people who are established to be in charge of all of these things, these items. What was their job? The Radak says that these are the treasurers of the kings of the different domains. And the Ralbag adds that their job was to oversee their accounts and also to guard, to create security for these different areas. Rashi adds that this refers to, that's when it talks about the cities, it means that there were certain cities actually owned by the king. All these cattle and camels that was being talked about is things which are owned by the king themselves. In fact, Rashi goes on to add that this is not so much just ownership, it is also oversight, making sure that, let's say for the vines, that the vines were planted at the right time, and they were pruned at the right time, and they were harvested at the right time, are also as important. So when it talks about the vines or the olive trees, it's referring to their upkeep as well. And finally, the perek closes with the last three psukim, Lamed Beis to Lamed Dalet, in which we hear about the seven advisors of the king. We hear about Yonatan Dod David, Yonatan's uncle, right, who's an Ishmael Vin Vesofer, he's a scribe, Yechiel Ben Chachmoni. We hear about Achitofel, Hushai Ha'arki, And we hear Yehoyada ben Benayahu and Eviatar. So we hear about these very close people in David HaMelech's immediate cabinet who would advise him. You'll notice a few interesting points here. Some of the names should ring bells. And that is the name Hushai Ha'arki appears in Shmuel Bey's Perek Tezvov, around the area of the rebellion of Avshalom. And you'll remember that in that rebellion, what happened was is that his advisors remained in Yerushalayim. Two of David HaMelech's advisors in particular in this group remained. One is Achitofel, and one was Hushai Ha'arki. Now, Achitofel defected. He left David HaMelech's allegiances, and he used his wisdom and knowledge of David HaMelech to try to get David HaMelech killed through Avshalom. However, Hushai Ha'arki was not willing to go that route and gave bad advice, thereby allowing David HaMelech enough time to escape. In fact, Rashi quotes a Medrash that when David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba, afterwards he turned to Hushai Ha'arki, who is called here Rea HaMelech, the friend of the king, and he said to him, "Can I do teshuva?" And Hushai said yes. Hushai believed in David HaMelech, and that's why he was never willing to defect fully and was able to save David HaMelech's life as well. This is the inner cabinet. Last thing just to look at is that it says, in the last part of the parak, it describes V'acharei Achitofel. After Achitofel was Yehoyada ben Eliyahu and Eviasar. So what does that mean after Achitofel? So what the Radak points out, meaning the Mephoreshim say, is after Achitofel died. When he defected, he and his advice was not heeded, ultimately he took his own life, a very tragic figure. After he was gone, then Yehoyada took his place in that respect. But the Rabbag says, no, it's the triage. First, David HaMelech asked Achitofel, who was his advisor. Then he spoke to Benayahu, who was from the head of the Sanhedrin. Then he spoke to Eviasar, who was the Kohen with Urim V'Tumim. So there was a process, there was a protocol that David HaMelech had in place, how decisions were made, and that's what's being described to us in this parak. This now really gives us a fuller perspective of how David HaMelech's government operated, and you can see the incredible degree of organization that David HaMelech invested in his government. With this, we close. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.